Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
Jump into the epic world of Avatar: The Last Airbender
with Nickelodeon's official companion podcast, Avatar: Brave and the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Listen to Avatar: Brave and the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
It's The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Late Show. My next guest tonight is the Oscar-nominated director of movies such as Prisoners, Arrival, and Blade Runner 2049. You now return to Arrakis with Dune Part 2.
Your blood comes from dukes and great houses. We don't have that here. Here, we're equal. Men and women alike. What we do for the benefit of all.
Well, I'd very much like to be equal to you.
Muad'Dib Uso. Maybe you could be Fremen. Maybe I'll show you the way.
Please welcome back to The Late Show, Denis Villeneuve. So nice to see you again.
Nice. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, thank you. I had the opportunity on Sunday night to go to the U.S. premiere of Dune 2 and introduce you when you came out
thanks
to
again.
Address
that
the audience.
Thanks again. That was very nice of you.
I'm a very nice guy. And but it was really a pleasure not only to introduce you, but to see it for the second time because I'd already seen it in anticipation of having you and many of the cast members on the show. But I just saw it in a little screening room. I mean, very nice sound and a beautiful screen and everything, but it was just me and a couple of people. But to see it in the theater the way it's meant to be seen, it really elevates the experience extraordinarily. Even finding out, oh my God, it's really funny at times, this movie, especially Javier Bardem.
Yeah, he brings a beautiful humanity and levity to his character that makes his arc even more tragic, I would say.
An amazing cast here. You have Anya Taylor-Joy, Suhaila Yacoub, Zendaya, Timothy Chalamet, Denis Villeneuve, Austin Butler, Rebecca Ferguson, Josh Brolin, Florence Pugh, and Lea Seydoux. They were all there for the opening of it. Plus, 1,500 other people in the room. Do you enjoy being there when an audience sees the film?
It's the final part of the film process for me. It's when I share the movie finally with an audience at the premiere. After that, I will stop watching the movie for the next 10 years. I've seen it 100 times.
You don't. But I love again it. After that?
No, but I love and my kids were in the theater as well, so I wanted to experience the movie with them a last time. And it's like it's just like a moment I love when I feel the emotion with the audience. And after that, I can't watch it again. It's over. Yeah.
This is the second time that you have brought us to Arrakis, to Frank Herbert's Dune, which so many people have in their own mind, and I'm sure you had it for many, many years before you ever created this film and brought it to us. And one of the things I really appreciate about your film is it adds to, it does not replace the images that I had in my mind. One of the most amazing things about your films, this one specifically, but all of your films, is that they have a beautiful atmospheric quality, and in this case, you capture the feeling of reading the book, that sense of departure from this world into an alien landscape. And why do you think your films have that particular property or ability to do so, and is that intentional?
to have that feeling of immersion you're talking
yes.
about? Yeah, but it's one of the power of cinema to
bring. But not all films do this.
It's one of the reasons I will say I choose to adapt this book because I felt that there was like a possibility to do strong cinematic moments in out of this book, and I'm happy that you felt so. I mean, I cannot comment on
about why it happens.
Yeah.
That's just what you do.
Yeah. I'm paid for that.
because you had already brought us there one time before, did you have sort of freedom and latitude that you didn't have the first time, that you didn't have to lay out the rules of the world for us?
It was like I had done all the homeworks in the part one. I had like draw the board of we had designed the box, and now I had the chance to play with the sand. I mean, in the sandbox. I mean, it's like if I'd done all the homeworks of the exposition, explaining the who's who and the backstory. And the second part is just a playground for cinema. I mean, it's like it's more of an action movie, much more momentum and mm-hmm. and sequences that are, I would say, it was much more difficult to shoot, but much more fun.
It must not be easy to work with sandworms.
It's all about casting. I mean,
got to get the right size worm.
Yeah, exactly.
The
other size. Exactly.
Have you seen the popcorn boxes that you put your hand in?
I heard about it.
Yeah, with the teeth in it.
I'm not sure. I would love to see one. I think mm-hmm. it's.
I see them in my nightmares.
Actually, someone sat and draw this thing, and then there's people in a factory that worked, and then I wonder what they thought when they were putting that in trucks.
Speaking of all the sand,
but there's some kind of genius there because we are talking about it actually.
Yeah, it's certain things that upset you, you talk about a lot. Talking about the sand, you shoot, a lot of this is shot in an area of Jordan called Wadi Rum, which also Lawrence of Arabia was shot there, Rise of Skywalker, Rogue One, Prometheus, and The Martian. So I'm familiar with that landscape. And I'm just curious, like, what is the challenge for you to shoot there? Because when I saw Dune, someone told me that it was in Wadi Rum, but I didn't recognize it as Wadi Rum. I recognized it as its own place. How did you find some new way to present this such a famous desert, the oceanic majesty of the desert?
Yeah, it's all about. There was a massive research that was done in the desert, done by my production designer Patrice Vermette, who really had the task to find new areas that had not been shot before. It's a very powerful landscape with a lot of variety of different kind of rock. It's a fantastic topography, so it's a huge playground. But we took the time to find places that had not been shot and seen before on screen. I didn't want the audience to have a feeling of déjà vu after part one.
My favorite. I love the desert, but my favorite is the design of Gedi Prime. Mm. Is that which is the Harkonnens? For those who don't know, the bad guys. They're pretty bad too. The Harkonnens, the black brutalist architecture, mm-hmm. Even the brutalist machines that they have, the black sun. Is it true? And I want to show you this. Here's Austin Butler as Nah Baron Fader Alpha in Dune Part 2. And he has teeth. You just can't see them there. Is it true that you shot this in infrared?
Yeah, it's just that I wanted to have an eerie black and white. And Greg Fraser, my cinematographer, suggested that we shot it in the IR with IR systems, and it gave the skin become like translucent. You see the veins, and the eyes become like insect-like.
Everything it's has like frightening. A stone-like.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
quite a frightening look. And the only thing about that is that there's no way back. I mean, I had made sure to explain to the studio that. It was not possible to bring back color. So it's like we committed on. I love to do that, to commit as we shoot.
Dangerous.
No, it's risky, but it's lovely. That's funny. That's the fun.
The risk is the fun.
Yes, exactly.
Does the studio agree?
I hope so. It's a bit late now.
I mean, like before you go to shoot. Oh, yeah, I'm sure now. Yeah, like they're like, do they know? They know it's risky, and they're like, all right, we love risk. That's what studios are famous for.
The people at Legendary were totally supportive of the idea.
This, of course, is the second time that you've shot with Timothy Chalamet. There he is as Paul Moadib Usul. It shows Moadib growing as a leader, but also Timothy is older now. What was it like to work with him on the second film? Did you see changes in him?
Absolutely. It was very moving for me to see someone growing up in front of the camera. Say, Timothée in part one was barely 23 years old. It was the first time he was working on a movie of that scale, trying to consolidate his identity as an actor, trying to find his place, trying to find a way to protect his focus on set. And he learned a lot doing part one and a lot in the subsequent movie that he's done between both films. And then when he came on part two, he was more of a leading man. I mean, and it was really beautiful to see him getting more mature and more secure on set.
There's a language, the Fremen language, Chukotka. Am I saying that correctly?
Absolutely. Chukotka. Yeah.
So is spoken all throughout the film. You guys created a language, a vocabulary for this, and a lexicography, like a inflection and grammar and that sort of
thing. It's based on some. There are hints of that language in the book, but we hired a linguist. His name is David Peterson, who created the old language with its own logic into it. And the actors went to Chukotka school. They learned like they were fluent in Fremen language, all of them. And there was a dialect coach on set that was making sure that they had the right pronunciation. And they became really upset obsessed with the idea of being as good as they could be with Chukotka. At a point where one day I was having a shot that was quite complex, and I said, okay, we got it. It was great. And the dialect coach came to me and said, actually, the pronunciation was not actually correct. And I was like, I said, come on, brother, it's a fake language.
And?
No, but we did it again. But it's
good
it's,
for you. That's
no,
good.
I was absolutely moved by the fact that everybody committed so much to this language.
Javier is great. He's so fluent in it.
Yeah, he can almost improvise in Chukotka. He's like the father of Chukotka.
I love the idea of creating like not only just a language, but you had to create an idiom for the language, like phrases that would be unique to
absolutely. There was a whole poetry, a whole inner logic to the language. Like, for instance, when Zendaya at one point says to Stilgar, their character Shani says to Stilgar, you are crazy, you're insane. She says, you're insane. But the way she says it in Fremen language is, you're drinking sand. That, of course, for a Fremen is epiphany, the ultimate madness.
So exactly. It's like, you've got bats in your belfry. It doesn't mean anything, but it means something.
I didn't get it, sorry.
Okay. Do you know the phrase, bats in your belfry?
No, because I'm French-Canadian. I have no idea what we're talking about right now.
It means you're crazy.
You have
bats in the bell tower of your church. You have bats in the bell tower of your church.
In French,
it means you're crazy.
Tu as une araignée dans le plafond. It means you have a spider in the mind. Yeah. You see?
That makes... That's... You're drinking sand. Now, one of the things that got me very excited, of course, after I saw Dune, but I didn't know it was Dune Part 1, it was just Dune, was that shortly thereafter you announced that there was going to be a Dune Part 2. Mm. And I was completely satisfied with Dune Part 1 now, but Dune Part 2 came out. I'm just as excited about that. I loved it just as much. Is there a Dune Part 3?
There will be. There's a second book called Dune Messiah, so I might do an adaptation of Dune Messiah that will complete the arc of Paul Atreides. It will make absolute sense for me to make a final film and revisit Arrakis a very last time.
Please. Denis, thank you so much. Dune Part 2 is in theaters tomorrow. Denis Villeneuve, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more. And Late Show Pod Show listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com. Late Show Pod Show listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.